Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
When it's time to go after the biggest buck of your life, you need gear that will not only make your life easier, but that you can also depend on for years to come. Lone Wolf Custom Gear has been the leader in mobile hunting equipment for over 40 years and started out right here in Wisconsin. From inventing the climbing stick to perfecting ultralight tree stands, Lone Wolf Custom Gear continues to innovate and put the best mobile hunting equipment on the market with a ton of fantastic accessories that allow you to customize your gear exactly how you want it. Whether it be the high-end DeQuisto series sticks and stands or the affordable Patriot series, you'll have the peace of mind knowing that you're hanging off of gear that was 100% made in the USA, right here in the Midwest, in fact, and has been designed and perfected by some of the best whitetail hunters in the world. Not to mention, it has an unconditional lifetime warranty that's so good your grandkids and even great-grandkids will be able to use it when they're hunting. Go build your kit out today at lonewolfcustomgear.com. Prime time for hitting the woods, and when you do, you need to know where you're going, and the best tool for the job is the Onyx Hunt app, which just keeps getting better and better. I've used Onyx for almost a decade now, and it's far and away my most used hunting tool. From making sure you're within a property boundary to peeling back the layers of an area with leaf-off imagery, the Onyx Hunt app will help you understand a property quicker than anything. As we head into the peak season, I've been using the LiDAR feature in the Topo base map to spot areas that will funnel deer through a specific location, and the slope angle exposure layer to get an idea of how much sunlight reaches an area and predict how my thermals will behave. To try it out for yourself and have more success this fall, go visit onxmaps.com/hunt. Fall is here and it's time to get out in the woods, and when you do, you need gear that's going to keep you warm, dry, and concealed while you're pursuing wild game. That's why I'm proud to be partners with Huntworth Gear, the makers of badass, affordable hunting gear that's readily available and won't break the bank. You've heard me talk about this gear for years now, and for good reason. Their Heat Boost gear is the warmest hunting gear I've ever worn, and guys, I promise you, I'm not just saying that. It beats the heck out of traditional merino, fleece, or down hunting clothes. Not to mention, we've got a ton of great new camo patterns, including our new waterfowl pattern, Oberus, which has been expertly designed to keep you concealed from wary ducks flying overhead. To go get kitted out for this fall, visit huntworthgear.com or head on over to the sporting goods section of your local Farm and Fleet or Fleet Farm to check it out in person. Southwest Wisconsin is home to one of the most unique trout fisheries in the country, with thousands of miles of spring-fed streams twisting their way through valleys, pastures, and prairies, and one of the best ways to experience this fishery is with a fly rod in hand. Good Chance Fly Fishing is your guide to all that the Driftless has to offer, whether you're an experienced angler or you're just looking to try something new and get into fly fishing. To find more info and book your trip, visit goodchanceflyfishing.com. If you've listened to this show before, I'm sure you've noticed that if there's one thing that keeps coming up over and over again, it's the importance of public lands and waters. Shoot, I'd venture to guess that 90% of what we talk about on this show takes place on public lands. We all love the challenges we face and the memories we create in these wild places, and we need folks who are in our corner to protect them as well. That's why we're proud to have partnered with the good folks over at the Wisconsin Chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Wisconsin BHA Chapter was formed to provide a voice for hunters and anglers throughout Wisconsin that want to protect our public land legacy, and everyone involved worked their tails off to protect public lands and access to those public lands and waters. To stay informed on all things public lands, the issues facing our public lands, policies that might affect them, and to cross paths with some of the coolest outdoorsmen out there, I highly encourage you to join the Wisconsin Chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, or at least the chapter of whatever state you live in. Also, be on the lookout for our Wisconsin Public Land Policy bonus episodes to keep you all in the loop on the legal side of conservation and how things get done here in Wisconsin. To join BHA, visit backcountryhunters.org/join, and to learn more about what's going on here in the Badger State, visit backcountryhunters.org/Wisconsin. Going on, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast, which is brought to you by Lone Wolf Custom Gear. I'm your host, Pierce Nellis, and this is your home for all things hunting, fishing, and conservation in the Badger State. Folks, I hope you're all doing well. As I record this, it is 8:02 a.m. on Friday, October 24th. It is 31 degrees outside, and I am sitting at my desk and not in the woods. So I'm a little salty about that, I'm not gonna lie. But my self-cams are reminding me and just rubbing it in that I should have been out there this morning. But you know what? I didn't go out there, and I'll tell you why. First things first, I've been really busy. I'm tired, which I know is a weak excuse, but I'm gonna strengthen it here in just a sec. I have been struggling on a new property to truly figure it out, and I've been kind of tiptoeing around it throughout the mid-October window there, trying not to booger it up too much, but I've reached a point where I need answers. And my alarm went off this morning. I got up, my feet hit the ground, I was looking at the weather, looking at the wind, looking at Onyx, because I went to bed still racking my brain. I'm like, where the heck am I going to sit tomorrow morning if I go? And I got up, and then maybe I should have just gone in, but I was like, you know what, I'd rather not do damage by going in blind, having an idea, like a general idea of where I want to go, but not actually a tree in mind or a specific spot in mind. And I think going in there in the dark and either waving a flashlight around or walking in circles to try and find a tree or to try and find the scrapes that I know are there, and even if they're even active still, it just didn't seem like the move this morning. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to let them get extra confident so that this afternoon I can go in, I can scout the heck out of the place, throw a sit at it, and then hopefully stick an arrow in something tomorrow morning. We'll see. That's the game plan. My plan is to hit it really hard throughout this next week leading up to the end of the month, because on November 1st, I think like 40 head of cattle move into this property. And so that'll just be delightful. I can't wait for that to happen, but I'm trying to get it done before that. And in the meantime, the farmers are threatening to pick the corn, but they haven't quite yet. So, I mean, if that happens this weekend or some other time, you know, in the next couple of days here before the end of the month, I think that could be the perfect storm for me to get narrow and a nice buck, because we got several running around out there. But we'll see. TBD on that one. But folks, I hope you're all doing well. I hope your fall has been fantastic so far. You've been enjoying the cold fronts, the crazy wind we had all last week. Those of you who came out, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, to the Fleet Farm event over in DeForest, it was great to see you guys and chat with you, as well as those who attended the virtual e-scouting event this past Thursday that we did with Brock Rosenkrantz and the National Deer Association. Both of those events were a blast. It was fun to chat with people, talk deer, and yeah, just BS a little bit, honestly. You know, I oftentimes leave a podcast sometimes feeling like I'm just clicking send and speaking out into the void, especially when I do these intros, you know. And so it's nice to know that there are people on the other side who are actually listening to this. So if that's you right now, thank you. Aside from that, though, guys, I revisited a property, this river bottom property that I hunted last year, where I chased that big buck, and a couple things jumped out to me. I got two cameras in there. The foliage in there is insanely tall, like double or triple what it was last year, and so that poses some new challenges to that property for sure. But nevertheless, got in there, scouted a couple of the hot spots I wanted to hit, and had a nice little light bulb moment on my walk out. I was just hiking this trail back, and I figured, you know what? I don't know if the deer are still moving through a property the exact same way that they did last year or not. Are they using the same trails? Are they doing all the same sort of stuff? And I was very, very pleased to figure out that they, in fact, were. And I was hiking my way out. It was in low light, kind of like dusk kind of time frame there, which I know I probably should have been sitting, but I needed information. I needed to get cameras out on this property. And so I'm scouting my way out of this property, following this trail, and come across a really nice scrape. So I slap a camera up there, and it's a scrape that I didn't find last year, because I didn't spend a whole lot of time in this area during the early part of the season, when you can really evidently see all of the trails that are cut through the, you know, the understory and the foliage and all that kind of stuff. And so that was super encouraging. Dropped a pin where my camera was, and I'm hiking out, and I very quickly realized that I was literally tracing over a previous track that I had made last season. So it was super encouraging to me to know that travel routes have remained the same, and also that this scrape existed, because that was a big, I kept asking myself last season, like, why the heck are they exiting this one bedding area and heading this direction? I know there's a bunch of deadfalls. I'm sure there's bedding out of here or over here. But like, aside from bedding, like, is there any sort of a draw or anything that's going to actually concentrate deer movement outside of just like one trail and a bunch of deadfalls? So this scrape was a big connecting dot for me, based off of last year's information. So we'll see. Had a couple of bucks show up there over the past couple of days, but not that big dog. So we'll have to, I think, do a little bit more scouting, but we'll see. I'm spread a little thin in the deer realm, if you can't tell right now, but trying to play catch up, trying to figure all this stuff out. But you guys, as you saw in the title of this episode, you can't always deer hunt. And sometimes you got to take a break from the deer woods. It's good for you. And sometimes you need to screw around and go do a little bit of duck hunting. I'm a big advocate for trying a bunch of different things throughout the course of a fall, because there's a lot of great stuff to do in the great state of Wisconsin throughout the fall, whether it be chasing pheasants, chasing deer, or getting after those ducks. And so I got a chance to get out in the duck blind with none other than Andrew Wolf. You guys have heard him on the show, I think like three times now, maybe four times, but awesome dude. Big waterfowl hunter. Awesome bass fisherman, and the two of us have been, we tried it last year and we failed miserably, but this year we got out again and we did not get skunked, but we did not have maybe the trigger pulling bang bang action that we were hoping for, but we still had a freaking great time. We saw a ton of birds this past Wednesday, I think it was. We had like 40 mile an hour northwest winds, a nice cold morning. We tucked into some islands on the Mississippi and set up down there. And yeah, we saw a lot of birds. Andrew made a great shot on a mallard. I ended up folding up a goose, and then we just watched a lot of birds fly over. But our goal was to record an episode live from the duck blind and basically capture that essence of, even on the days that it's slow, granted, we went into this thing hoping like we're just going to mash these ducks and we're barely going to get any words in because it's just going to be us, you know, busting shells and hopefully recovering birds. Didn't happen, as it sometimes does, but that's oftentimes when some of the best conversations happen. And so we tried to capture the essence of just shooting the breeze in the duck blind. And so we talk a whole bunch about a lot of Andrew's recent travels. We talk about what we were seeing quite a bit. The fact that being on a waterfowl hunt and seeing that many different types of birds flying through the air kind of gives you ADHD. And so there's a stage of this episode where like we have to like start and stop and start and stop a bunch of stories, but hey, that's all part of it, right? And so did our best to capture the true essence of hanging out in the duck blind. I hope you guys are going to enjoy it. If you're a waterfowl hunter, sorry, I'm an idiot. I'll just preface it with that, because I ask a lot of dumb questions. I'm sure I say a lot of dumb stuff, but hopefully you guys get a good laugh out of this one. And with that, you guys, if you're getting out in the marsh, good luck. If you're getting out in the woods this coming week, which you should be, I mean, it's prime time for crying out loud. My favorite time to be in the deer woods. Good luck to you. And I'm going to do my best. I'm kind of stockpiling them right now, but throughout the season, I'm going to try and release a couple of live little like snippet, maybe like 5-10 minute mini episodes talking about different tactics that I'm seeing or that I'm using, things that I'm seeing in the woods and little tweaks and strategies that you can apply to your hunting season as we get going to prime time here. So with that, you guys, go scout, go get some answers, and go get on some big deer. Good luck to you, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Oh, and one other thing too, those of you who are hitting the waterfowl, I want to say the waterfowl woods, the waterfowl marsh, Huntworth just dropped their brand new waterfowl gear in this badass new pattern called Oberus. I got a chance to test it out while we were in the marsh this past week. I'm currently wearing the Marquette Heat Boost Heavyweight Windproof Waterfowl Hunting Hoodie. It's basically their grayling hoodie that I love for whitetail, except they've added a windproof coating to it. I wore that with the Moreau Midweight Lined Jacket over top of that. And let me tell you guys, I was freaking toasty. This pattern's badass. This stuff is insanely warm, insanely windproof, insanely waterproof. Shoot, I even had their waterfowl gloves. Super warm, super well articulated, like in the fingers. You had a lot of dexterity. It's thin enough that you can still pull the trigger with them if you want to. I don't like gloves when I'm shooting. That's just my own personal preference. But if I did, I would shoot in these gloves. And at the very least, they were great for busting some decoys out and picking them up and all that sort of stuff. Kept my hands nice and warm, totally toasty. So any of you are in the market for some new waterfowl gear, I cannot suggest this stuff enough because it is absolutely toasty and just killer gear. So go check that out. It's all 25% off right now. And if you need any whitetail gear, Huntworth stuff is also just across the board in their Vertec, Tarnin, Disruption, you name it, patterns. All that stuff's 25% off. So go get yourself stocked up. Even if you need something for like gun season or late season or whatever, now's the time to get it. Head on over to huntworthgear.com. And with that, you guys, enjoy this episode with Andrew Wolf. Talk to you Tuesday.
Well, folks, we're out here in a duck blind. I got Andrew Wolf with me. Andrew, how are we feeling this morning?
Very optimistic.
Too optimistic, almost.
Maybe. They're flying already. We got like 4 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Decoys are moving. strong northwest wind.
Emphasis on the strong, dude. It is bombing. We're tucked in.
Here's duck. Here's duck. Right on us, Mallard. Yeah, I think we're going to kill some today.
I tell you what, dude. You've got... You've got a fellow with some of the worst eyes for spotting ducks in the blind with you.
Well, I got some good eyes. Everyone
calls
me eagle eye. I don't know if I believe them, but...
I mean, I don't know. You keep saying that we need to keep an eye out for them sneaking in from the right. And I tell you what, buddy, like, I'm the wrong guy to have over on the right side.
The guys to our left are trying to be an orchestra. Sounds like
they're singing.
With 5 minutes left. They sound all right.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know if they could trick the Merlin app, but I did about 5 minutes ago. That's a little feather in the cap for my... Oh, there's a pile.
Where at?
Right above. Like 20 of them. I'm going to start trying to bring some of them back when they do that again.
I feel like I'm going to enrage all of the good duck hunters that listen to this, because they're going to be like, I am never, ever, ever going to take Pierce duck hunting because he can't see shit.
That's okay. All you need to do is see him decoy. You don't need to see him until...
There's a bunch of them off the left.
Really?
They're like right on the water.
Oh, yeah. We got, what, 3 minutes?
Three minutes, I think.
Is this your, like, first live episode?
Well, we tried it last year, buddy, and then we just got our asses handed to us.
Yeah, I was trying to pretend like that didn't happen.
I feel like I thought we already talked about that one.
Oh, yeah, we might.
Like, just addressed it, but could be wrong. Well, to paint a picture for folks listening, we are...
Pool nine. That's fine.
We've got a really, like Andrew said, a really strong northwest wind just ripping down the river and kind of on a chain of islands down here.
They're on the right.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah. Those guys are just bombing that boat.
Yeah, they are. But yes, we're at like the bottom of these islands, kind of on a tail out, tucked into this little sort of a cove. And we've already got birds on us, so.
2 minutes.
Feeling good right now. We'll see. 2 minutes. So like something like this, dude, when you've got birds off to the right, they're on the water. You're not quite to the decoy. We've got birds out in front of us, too.
We do. They're everywhere right now. I just hope they come into the decoys, because I don't know. I just hope they're dumping in today. They should be trying to find a place to land. If I know anything about Jeff. Oh, there's a bunch. On the left. Big one. Big Jeff. They kept going.
What's that?
They kept going.
Bastards.
2 minutes.
This is just going to be a massive game of, you say right, left, or center.
Oh, there's a bunch. On the left.
Oh, yep.
Coming to us. Yeah. I think if they're going to land, though, you'll see them before we kill them.
Right.
You can't be that blind. One minute. 7 o'clock, right?
Yeah, 7 on the knots.
Okay, 45.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, shit.
They're thinking about it.
Yeah, they whipped around.
I'm going to pull up the...
Oh.
Is that a minute early?
The minute early. The first shot of Christmas. A little early. But whatever.
Just a hair. We've got evidence here.
Yeah, we have evidence. So whoever you are over there.
Acoustic evidence. Centered it straight to the warden.
Yeah. Do you have many Illinois listeners?
You know, I really don't know.
It was probably that guy.
It probably was that fib. You're right.
I guess my rules are don't shoot the decoys and don't shoot me. And everything else is fair game.
All right. Blind included.
Right.
Okay. All right.
I think we're legal.
It is legal. We're live. Dude, you've had some pretty good success so far this year, haven't you?
Yeah, actually very good. Hopefully today it continues. It was good early and then it kind of lulled, and then the last couple days have been pretty good over the weekend. There's one out in front. Your phone comes. Get ready. He's going to set us up right in front. He went away. I've been killing mostly puddle ducks and some divers, mm-hmm. doing a little layout boat hunting, doing some hunting out of the boat blind. But it's been pretty good. Oh, yeah. Those guys are just ripping it.
What was that? You just flew by.
I don't know. I was watching the other guys. But I don't know. I'm confident in our spot here.
Oh, same, dude.
Oop, there's some high ones. Oh, yeah. Vanilla seagulls. Stupid thing. It's like those video games you used to play, you know, like where they have like all the crap that just floats by and then all of a sudden there's something you actually need to shoot. That's what this is in real. There's ducks above us.
Out there in the...
No, straight above us. Right up above. Pull the blind down a little bit.
Pull her down.
The wind comes right above us. There's four mallard.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys need to shot.
Those guys are ripping it, yeah.
I think there's like some overcalling you can do. I don't know. I'm more sort of just do a couple quacks, couple feeders, but they're trying to sound like all refuge. I know.
Just really becoming one with it, you know?
I guess. They are the refuge. All right, it'd be cool if something flew for us right into decoys. There's plenty around. I don't know. Oh, there's some out there at the front. I don't know what else they'd want from us. I mean, this is about as...
Right. Maybe for me to get my ugly mug back, but...
No, I don't think they're going to see us. We're pretty darn hidden in this boat. Ooh, on the right, up high. Up high.
Oh, yeah.
The other circle ones, they're coming. That would be sick if they come all the way in. I don't know. I lost them. They might come all the way around the front.
Right. So on like high wind days like this, is it usually a...
They're trying to find somewhere to land.
Right.
Preserve their energy before they go further south.
Yep.
It just like knocks them down, gets them moving, pushes them around a bit. Everything you want them to do. But all the ones we've seen have been flying north, I guess.
Yeah.
Right now. Reverse migrators. No, they're just looking to land.
Bunch of seagulls out in front. There's a couple.
Yep. They're going down behind us. Maybe they're going to swing. That was not a good call. I'm going to be all self-conscious to publish this.
Folks listening, if you'd like to comment on Andrew's duck calling, please write in.
Oh, gosh. I won't get invited back. They saw him.
What's that?
Those guys must have saw him because they started calling.
Yeah. I got those plugs in. I can't hear.
Those ones could have maybe gotten a long shot taken at them, but I don't really want to do that.
Right. I physically cannot do that.
Okay, there's something on the water out in front of us. A lot of something. Ways out there. Boss.
By that log, kind
of? There's ducks in front of us. One duck, one seagull. Stupid seagull. Yeah, out by those logs, there's something.
A resident muskrat?
Could be. Are a lot of your listeners duck hunters, or is it just a big variety?
You know, I think it's a wide variety. I could be wrong. I know, just from talking to the Ducks Unlimited guys, I think waterfowl hunters make up like 10% of like the general hunting population.
Oh, that's not very many. There could be less. I wouldn't mind.
Right, but I feel like Wisconsin's waterfowl culture, like the folks who do it hard.
Oh, yeah.
There's no middle ground, right?
Yeah, especially the dudes on the Mississippi River and the Bay, Green Bay. I mean, I think we have some of the best stuff.
There's a couple out there.
Left?
Left.
I think they're out there to the right.
Zipping. They might.
Oh, yeah.
You're about to get some action.
I don't know. They blend in with the trees. Oh, there's two. There's some more. Come on.
Oops. That might play ball.
Look back now. I can't see him now. They're low though.
Right.
They swung our way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would talk about what? Tough duck hunters, I think they're the bottom in Wisconsin. So we have some of the best stuff.
Well, there's something cool about the, I don't know, there's another thing about the Delon.
Yeah.
There's something just cool about the Mississippi.
Yeah.
It kind of gives you that Lewis and Clark fail.
It's just so.
It's massive. Oh, yeah. Hold on. This group comes to the left.
Right. Yeah. And we got some straight one. I'll say cut him. Nah, it's too high.
Yeah.
Had some other ones out in front.
Nah, this guy busted?
No.
Oh.
These ones, look at these ones right here. Yeah.
Fourth one flies into the mix.
There's shit everywhere right now.
Hold on, I need to record.
Yeah, they're kind of, they're just milling around. There's another one low on the water and left. They're just out of range.
Seconds.
Yep. I've not seen them. This one very hidden.
So do you have a preference between like hunting rivers versus like regular old marshes or anything like
that?
The big lake?
They're all fun for different reasons. I mean, the river, you could shoot so many different species, and the same thing with the Bay of Green Bay.
Right.
You could shoot all sorts of stuff, which is fun. And eating the ducks. Really, I just like seeing them deep black. I don't even need to shoot them somewhere.
Right.
Not a pile of shooting yet. They're staying pretty high. There's a single on the right. High. I don't know. I'm just worried one's going to sneak in here.
Yeah, right?
We probably sound like we have ADHD. So we're just like talking about one thing and then some ducks fly.
I think the, I don't know. I think the water bowlers listening to this, I think they will definitely understand it. And everyone else, I think, I'm hoping they give us a little bit of grace here. Because it is, dude. It's like, I mean, especially first light right now. with everything, just, I mean, the variety of birds and just little groups and everything bouncing around, like,
it's fun to watch.
It's super fun.
Dude. It gets me fired up. There's a flock out in front. They are getting darker, which is a good sign.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting darker by the minute. Are they ducks or are they geese? They look like they're coming right at.
If they're geese, I'm loading up the BBs.
They are geese. Not my Canada. I don't really care about geese.
Give me that sky carp, maybe.
They don't taste that bad. I just don't. They're not as fun or pretty.
Well, dude, buddy Max Kulik was telling me about goose burgers.
Goose burgers.
And how that's just like the best kept secret.
Really?
Yeah. So I would gladly smack a Canada. I've also thought about trying to take some goose and making some dog treats out of it.
Interesting.
Dehydrate something.
Dog treats.
These guys are thinking.
Oh, is it a geese? Stupid thing.
The old sky carp.
These seagulls keep fooling me a little. Okay.
Yeah, kind of surprising there's not more shooting so far.
No, it might be like the sun gets up just a touch and then they're like look to land.
Does that change the game a little bit? Like a lot of times they just want a little more light so they can see what they're getting into, kind of.
But sometimes it seems like that. Like windy, sunny days seem to be really good sometimes. There's some way out to the right. But we'll see how it goes.
Well, maybe.
These geese cannot fly. They have not moved.
Just static birds.
Glitch in the system. Those guys are now goose callers.
Yep. Hey, they are the refuge, my friend.
Yeah, they're just trying to pull them in.
Come one, come all. You're going to get that trumpeter swan call going over there? That'd be awesome.
Those geese cannot fly. That's funny.
Are they still there?
They're up.
Oh, yeah.
They have not moved much. There was a single shot.
Yeah.
Unsure if it was successful or not. I feel like some guys on the Mississippi shoot anything in the area code. We will not be doing that today.
Speak for yourself. Look, buddy, the only species I have under my belt are a lone ringneck and a couple of buffies.
Okay. Oh, so. Here we go. I hit that one. He might go down a long ways away. I'm going to go try to grab him. He's showing down out in the middle out there.
Yeah.
That's a long walk for me.
Yeah, it's a hike.
Sick.
Godspeed. I'm going to pause real quick. Hey guys, I just wanted to take a quick sec to tell you about Lone Wolf Custom Gear. Lone Wolf Custom Gear is as good as it gets when it comes to mobile hunting equipment. Whether you're a saddle or stand guy, public land or private, Lone Wolf Custom Gear has a set of sticks, a stand, a camera arm, and any number of accessories to get you closer to your target buck. To make it even better, everything is 100% USA sourced and made right here in the Midwest. And it's even assembled right across the river in Iowa by hunters who love chasing deer just as much as you do. To build your kit today, go visit lonewolfcustomgear.com. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Well, we are on the board. Didn't record it, but, well, we recorded Andrew's. Got one bird out to the right.
Really?
Just over top of the thing. It looks like...
Oh, yeah.
See him?
Yeah.
I suppose I should probably blow it, huh?
I'll take care of it. Anyways, he was trying to say that we are on the board. One mallard has been shot, and a Christmas goose has been shot. So Pierce will not be...
The sky carp mission has been fulfilled.
There's some on the left high.
Oh, yeah, way high.
Way high.
They're hanging up, though.
they can't fly. It's like 50 mile an hour winds up there.
I'm amazed that goose got that close.
Well, they are stupid sometimes, but sometimes they're very smart.
I was going to say, well, I've heard nothing but horrible things about how unforgiving they are, but that worked out all right. The 3-inch number fours folded her up.
You're lucky.
Took three shots, but...
I mean, it crumpled.
Yeah.
And then you gave it another one.
Oh, just for good measure. All I hear is how these things are tough.
Well, they are. Now we just need some more duff.
Yeah, should've.
I should've called that shot a little better. I just kind of popped up and started banging.
Oh, yeah, dude. I had my earplugs in, too, so I couldn't hear anything. And you're just like, yeah, there's a couple. And then all of a sudden, you like, look down real quick. And then you're shooting. Oh, all right. That worked.
Oh, we just need a few more. I think it's still going to be good.
I think it'll pick up, yeah, because it's, I mean, it's only 7:24 right now. Birds are still moving. We got more seagulls out here than we know what we can do with.
Yep. Hate them.
Our seagulls are like...
Well, there's a single duck out in front, dropping from the heavens.
Really?
Circling.
I do not see
it. It's dead ahead. It flies, going left, it's dropping. It's got a lot of work to do to get to us.
Hang on.
I think that one guy was kind of close to us, actually. He's like just up the bank.
Oh, is he? He tucked in behind us.
Yeah. He hasn't shot, so I feel good about it.
Dude, you just got back, Frank. You went on a bender from the trip there.
Norway, I did Wyoming for 7 days, then day two.
Well, turn lone duck left to the left.
I was feeling for one of the stick cuts. I'm not going to call it. She wants to come shoot me.
What was the highlight of all the spots?
Well, I caught a super cool Rena River brown trout, and they are like crazy orange red. Like they look like they're in spawn colors all the time.
Sure.
So that was pretty neat.
You said they were just harder than hell to catch too.
Technical. Like if you did the right things, good drift, right fly.
Okay, gotcha. Just everything had to be right.
And yeah, you had to like put the cast like not like 5 inches from where they're sitting, like up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the grayling were fun to catch, but they were almost more challenging than the brown trout.
That's what you were saying, yeah.
Yeah, like there's like so much bug life there that they like know what they want. So like, about to eat this stupid fly that's going past my face that's dragging in the water when I could eat a real thing.
But the hippie stomper and the pink squirrel does not do the trick down there.
Probably not. But who knows? They've probably never seen it.
Yeah, right.
But like, the Norwegians think it's like an act of Satan to fish a nymph.
Oh, really?
Yes. There's two out in front coming our way. Get ready here, I think.
I don't see them.
They are off the point right now, out of ways, going left. Those ones might take a little bit to get here, but I think they're going to come.
Sweet.
I'll tell you.
They do?
Yeah, they think it's like an act of Satan to use a nymph.
So they're just the ultimate purist.
Oh, yeah. Drive.
That's crazy.
Or die.
Dude, don't you wonder, like, I don't know, just knowing, like, how effective nymphing actually is?
Oh, the guide I went with, he's from Montana, and he nymphs and just crushes them. And, like, some of the Norwegians are starting to, like, catch on to it now.
Sure.
But they're still like, is this really fly fishing if we catch them this way? But they will go for, like, one fish. Like, one rising fish. And just, like,
headhunt.
Ninja. They're ninjas. But yeah. Okay, I lied, those two did not come back.
Such a unique, just like I don't know. Such a unique deal how folks get kind of wed to whatever their strategy is for doing, I mean, doing anything, right? People are just creatures of habit, and like whatever system seems to click with your brain and your nervous system or whatever it is, like that's the one you go with.
But right.
That's cool. It's cool, but it's like shocking that, I don't know, like thinking about the purist or the dry fly purist, I guess. I don't know, because I feel like if you do it for long enough, you do anything for long enough, not that it gets boring, but you get,
I don't know, just like accustomed to
it. Yeah, you get too attuned to it, exactly. Like, why wouldn't you want to try something new? Even if it's not something you're going to stick with, but just like try it out for the sake of trying something new.
Right. Just in like, I don't know, maybe this will work a little better, or another like feather in the cap.
Right. Well, exactly. Like just something so that you've got an extra tool in the tool belt, depending on what your like situation is, or what your what conditions you're presented.
Right.
Dude, you're absolutely right. There's something about duck hunting that does just give you like ADHD, where you just, I can't string a thought together.
I know. Like, there's too much to look at. There's too much to look
at. Staring at like 80 seagulls, and I'm like, is that
trying to pick the one duck out of it?
Yeah.
This one, if we could shoot him, this one would just get it right now.
Oh, yeah. How do you think seagull tastes?
Like a merganser.
Fishy.
Probably worse.
The livery.
Well, they eat on a landfill. So.
That's super true. Yeah, you don't see many waterfowl eating on landfills.
All right, there's three ducks way out there. They need to come into us here.
I see.
They're going left.
One. I don't see. You are eagle-eyed, my friend.
Our decoys look too good not to kill more.
Yeah, right? Do you think it's the kind of thing, like, I mean, well, you said the light conditions may play a factor into it, but also do you think it's a matter of, like, they just got up and went to feed? And
yeah, they could be coming back, too. I don't know. Or they're just, like, it's too windy and they're just going to sit tight for a little while.
Sure. That's fair.
But we will see. It's always, like, I feel like ducks are, like, the least predictable. I mean, they're predictable and not predictable. Oh, there's a pile out in front. I'm gonna rip it.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Ooh, they're dropping.
You can do it. Come on. Get out of that dang V.
They might come all the way around. Let's hope they do. They definitely saw us because they reacted.
Yeah. They are.
I can't see them.
They just kind of went off to like my 5 o'clock.
Are they high still?
They were pretty high, yeah. I mean, they were like slow.
Nope, though. They're coming through.
Oh, it's a battle of the...
It's a battle of the decoys. Over here, boys.
Come on now. That was a good group.
That was. I wonder if my calling sounds good or bad to them.
To the...
Other guys.
The other guys.
They're like, that guy sucks. Because I think those guys sound pretty good.
Yeah, right?
They're
not calling enough.
I think I was talking about ducks not being predictable because everything tells me like this day should be awesome.
Right.
And then sometimes it's not. But like, I feel like deer are relatively predictable and patternable after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like fish are pretty patternable.
Yep.
I feel like ducks, it's like, oh, it should, they're like today they should be like dumping in north. West wind, strong, like first like major cold front of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Everything says they should be coming, but they might not. Maybe they migrated ahead of it. Maybe they're coming behind it. but they should be here because it came yesterday.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, the sun's starting to peek out a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I'm encouraged by what we've seen so far, though.
Just the number of birds in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you just said ducks are the least patternable and the least predictable, but on days where you see quite a few birds in the air, is that generally just like a good sign that like,
it's hard to say, birds, honestly, like, because like last year I hunted the Mississippi and I saw probably like legitimately like 20,000 ducks, but they're all flying at 2 miles high, flying straight to south from Canada. So that was not a good indicator because we shot like three.
Yeah. I feel like none of them are that high today, though.
No. Everybody's just these ones, like, these are just like maybe a little bit out of shooting range.
Yeah.
That stupid seagull out front, every time it swings to the right, I just catch it out of my eye and want to like pop.
You have a favorite animal, like non-game species? I know this is like a fucking
favorite animal.
Grade,
I don't know.
Is there an animal that you see like in the woods that you can't, or in the marsh or whatever, that you can't shoot, but you're like, that's a sick animal. I'm glad I saw it.
I saw a moose in the wild for the first time.
That's rad.
A couple weeks, like last 2 weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
There's three bulls right by each other within 100 yards. That was pretty neat.
Is that a moose hunting zone?
No, it was on the edge of like a national park.
Okay, gotcha.
It might have been national forest.
Probably frowned upon, I suppose.
I don't know. Like, I love and hate grizzly bears.
Yeah.
Like, I was almost killed by one, but I also like...
Are you really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that story.
Oh, I'll tell you that story some other time.
Dude, let her rip. We got no birds coming in right now.
Okay. Well, it was in Montana, and I've been going out there since I was like a teenager.
Yeah.
And we had never seen a grizzly bear, like, ever. And, there's some on the left. Should I give it to him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ooh. Ooh.
They're moving. We'll see. Oh, there's a pile, too.
Yeah.
We'll see what they do.
Kind of coming our way.
There's a single. I'll continue the story when there's no birds.
All right.
This one out front is kind of doing something.
Battle of the orchestras.
Yeah. These ones are very high, though. Yeah. That one out in front by itself was interesting to me.
Looking for kinship.
Safe.
I do feel good that those guys haven't been shooting more than us, at least.
No, it's not like these things are wanting in yet.
Yeah.
They're just shut up a little bit, maybe.
I don't know if you heard it, but there were a couple birds that flew over when you went to go get yours.
Oh, really?
I strapped on my call and... Boy, was she ugly! But
oh, I shouldn't have went to go get that.
I know there's a couple out to the right.
Really?
Like over the way out there.
Okay.
I don't know what they are.
I'll continue the story when we get to a. I'll start over when we get to.
All right, deal.
An appropriate time. I feel like something might happen right now.
Got that ink, that ducky. Dude, is there such thing? I was thinking about that in the car this morning when I left. Is there, because I was nervous. I was like, I haven't shot at a moving target in a long time.
Uh-huh.
I guess I shouldn't say that. When I got the shotgun, I shot some clays just to break her in. But I was nervous. So like, I haven't shot at a live bird, at a live target.
Well, you did pretty good on your first one.
So. Yeah, that works. That works. I'll take it. But, is there such thing as, like, duck fever, you think?
Oh, like, I think guys? So. I think some people get too excited and don't, like, they just, like, point the gun and shoot without, like, aiming
it. Sure, yeah, they get the yips.
Or just too excited to shoot, not know what they're aiming at.
Yips or the skips?
There's some geese way out to the right.
Oh.
There's a pile of ducks up high left.
Yes, 20,
30 of them. They got to start working down, though.
Yeah, right? There. No, they're still.
They're just kind of moving around.
Yeah.
Moving around.
See, that's like where I certainly am lacking, you know, just, and a lot of it's just experience, I think. But like, for example, you just read what those birds were doing and you're like, they're staying up. All they're doing is just wobbling in the wind. They're not really doing anything.
Yeah.
Like it's like reading water, like anything, right? You read a deer's body language.
Yeah, those ones are not interested in coming down.
No.
It's not like they're seeing us, though, I don't think.
Right. Dude,
now it's bad again.
On the note of cool animals, dude, I've been nerding out on owls lately.
Oh, those are super cool.
Those are just badass. Like, whenever you, like, actually see one, because you can never hear them, obviously, but, like, right. I haven't spotted one just sitting on the limb. I'll spot them after they fly and then trace them to the limb. But, dude, there's such a mystique to those things.
Yeah. Oh, here. On the right. On
yep,
the right.
Yep.
This way.
You call it, guy.
Wood duck. They're going to come around, I think.
Thanks.
Maybe.
Please.
They're going to go right to those other guys.
God dang it.
Eagle. We probably could have shot those, but that would have been... pass shot.
Yeah,
that was tough.
We'd have been digging in the weeds for them.
Yep. Yeah, my parents have, they live kind of with woods in the background, and we had like a barred owl. We've had last year there's a great horned, which was super cool. I don't know, owls are just like they're like the best hunter, I think.
Oh yeah, dude, apex predators. My dad's got like the best owl luck ever. Like he picks out screech owls. I don't know if it's just like the time of night that he, cause he usually goes out and takes the dog out and stuff, but like he's probably got 3 or 4 screech owl stories of like just going out and like he just shines a light, just happens to shine it straight up into a tree and just nails this little like fist sized screech owl. And I have yet to see one. I've seen a barn owl, not barred, but a barn.
Yeah.
Owl, this big moon face once. I've seen one of them come flying up out of a ditch. I almost hit it when I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
And I've seen a couple of barred owls, like, drop down out of trees. One of the coolest things I ever saw was, like, driving down this road kind of at dusk, and I watched this barred owl drop straight down out of a tree and, like, nab a mouse or something in the snow.
Wow.
One of those things you see where you're just kind of like, hell yeah.
There's a lot of ducks way left.
Oh, yeah. Think they're coming from fields?
Probably.
That's a huge flock.
Yeah, they're small. They look like teal. Oh, stinking sequins. Owls are cool. Grizzly bears are cool. Moose are cool. Like, bugling elk are cool. I saw a bunch of them when I was in Montana.
Oh, yeah, you're out there like the right time.
Yeah. Wolves are sweet, kind of.
Okay, you know, wolves don't really do it for me. It's got to have something a little more mysterious, you know?
Like a whale.
A orca? Dude, I could
bird out on a whale. I've been trying to see an orca whale so bad. I've been to Washington a few times, and I hear about all these whales, and I've never seen them.
Dang. My sister's, she got a research position. She's at a research station. She's an outdoor educator. It's kind of, I think, her official title. But she's up on Vancouver Island right now.
Oh, nice.
And I guess she has, like, she's, you know, a pretty remote research station. And we were talking and stuff. And I was like, well, can you get, like, could you go for walks? Can you do anything? Because she was kind of frustrated because it's, like, just isolating. But also, like, she's stuck with all the people at the research station. Like, nobody can really, there's no opportunity to like go do stuff on your own.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I would go for walks, except there's fucking bears everywhere.
Are they black bears?
Yeah, the black bears are just like swooping up there.
Wow. She can fight them.
That's what I told her. She's like, well, half of them are like, yeah, you can yell at them, you can get big, you know, that whole thing with the black bears, and they'll take off. But the other half, they just get curious. Like, they're just desensitized. It's like, I can't go for a kayak, because if I go for a kayak, there's bears swimming across the bay.
Oh, she would be fine.
Yeah, right.
As, like, I say that, she gets eaten by a bear.
Yeah, right. One takes a bite out of the old yak.
Okay, it's dead again. I can start that story.
Yeah, like, fire it up.
Okay, so I've been going to Montana. I'll try to go faster.
This is going to be awesome to edit.
Yeah, so I have been going to Montana since I was like a teenager. Yeah. And we had not really seen any bears. In 2018, we went out there again, and we stay like right on the Yellowstone River outside of Yellowstone National Park by the town of Gardner, like probably 8 to 10 miles out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty remote. I fished down by the river. We've always fished down by the river, never seen bears. The first night we were there, went fishing, no problem. The next morning we went down and we saw like a pretty good sized bear tracks. So we were like, oh, we should probably carry our bear spray then.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like in the past we'd like, oh, on right out in front, right low, we can take these. Don't take them yet. Sure. Green winged teals, they're gonna swing around.
The old green winged flare.
Yeah. Okay.
Son of a gun.
Anyways, we decided to.
Did I bugger that up by sticking my barrel up out of the bowl?
Maybe. We started carrying our bear spray because, like, in the past, we would sometimes we wouldn't. We might as well. The whole week goes by, and we don't see any bears or anything. And we'd hike into places where you'd think there would be bears, but there was no bears.
Mm-hmm. You seeing tracks the whole time?
Sometimes. Nothing like too crazy. The last night that we were there fishing below the cabin, I was like with my dad and I had been... They got him. I had been fishing with my dad and I was like, hey, go get the GoPro like so we can film some of this. The fish are biting really good. So he went up to get it, and I'm fishing down below the cabin still, like a couple hundred yards.
Yeah.
And I hear someone start yelling, like, bear, bear, bear. And I thought it was just a hiker at first, because everyone, mm-hmm. all the hikers are yelling, like, hey, bear, all the time. Just, like, let them know they're there, and then they never do anything.
Just to sound outdoorsy.
Yeah. And it's like, lets the bear know you're there, and then right. they go away. So I always figured that was just someone hiking along the river. But they just kept yelling. So I, like, started looking around. And lo and behold, out of the willow bushes, a little cub runs out. And I was like, oh, shit. Mom is probably close.
Yep.
And like, as soon as that thought finished in my head, she stepped out of the willows. And they crossed the creek that was like flowing into the river behind me.
Yeah.
And they're like probably like 50 to 60 yards, just like paralleling me right now. And she is just like deadlocked. She whipped her head around at me. And I was like, oh, this might get real. So I pulled out my bear spray. And was just, like, looking at her and just, like, trying to figure out what's going to happen. My thoughts were, like, jump in the river and, like, float down away or, like, stand there and take it. And I was like, well, if I float in the river away, like, they can swim too and then my bear spray won't work. So I was like, I guess I'm just going to have to stand here and, like, be tough, hold my ground. So they were still paralleling me. And then they'd crossed the creek. Now they were, like, there's another set of willows. And she, like, woofed at the cub.
Yeah.
And the cub ran into the bushes and she followed it. So I was like, I'm in the clear now. And then like I wasn't. She like came out and now was no longer paralleling me, but she's like squared up and starts like woofing and like barking like a big dog. It was like, ooh, ooh. And like starts pawing the ground and I'm like, you're gonna get charged, Andrew. Like, don't mess this up or you're gonna die. So I had the bear spray just like dead straight out in front of me. Here we go.
Okay.
I don't know what those are.
They bombed in fast.
Yeah, they might come back. They're going to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, what are those?
I think ringnecks. Oh, you bitches, come back.
Oh.
No. They're maybe going
to... Really?
Okay. Yeah. They're swimming, maybe.
Okay, so yeah, I was going to say, riddle me that. Yeah, I'll finish your story first.
So I was like, Andrew, you're going to have to, like, be pretty tough here and, like, don't spray too soon. Don't spray too long, because like if it does get you, you're gonna die. So she's just pawing at the ground, ripping at the ground. And then she goes, like, this felt like a movie, like The Revenant or some crap.
Yeah, right.
Because like, it went on its back legs and just goes, bleh. And then she takes off running at me. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is real now. Andrew, don't mess this up or you're going to die. I just kept telling myself that. And then so she's running at me and running at me. And I'm like, just wait, just wait. I'd, like, picked a rock out, like, 30 feet is what you can spray with the bear spray. And that is freaking close.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's super close.
Yeah. So I had the rock picked out. She got to that rock. I started to spray. And I just remember seeing like yellow eyes. And it was like, I don't know. I still think about that sometimes. And she just kept running and kept running. And then she stops like maybe where you are right now. And dude, just locks up and she starts shaking her face because the bear spray must have hit her. Because she like ran through the cloud and I thought it didn't work, but it did. And she's got snot coming out of her nose. Her eyes are watering.
Yeah.
She takes like kind of like half like swipe kind of thing. Like probably not like to get me or anything, but just like moving its arm around and then ran off.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So after she ran off then, my dad is now back down by the water, like holding a rock.
Some birds out there.
Yeah.
Way off.
Yep. I'm like, what are you going to do with that rock, Dad? And like, I was like fired up at this point. I like sprinted up to the top. I threw up because I had the bear spray in my like sinuses and in my throat. Right. My mom is like all upset. She had been the one who had seen the bear coming across the island, across the creek. She was the one yelling bear the whole time because she saw the whole thing transpire. She thought I was like going to be dead. But it all ended up.
So nobody saw it happen to you.
Like my mom saw it all happen.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. So that was pretty wild.
I bet she...
She was not happy.
I was going to say, that sounds like a story that mom might bring up a couple times.
Yeah. But that is my bear story.
That's nuts, dude.
That's the closest encounter I've ever had with a grizzly. We had one encounter this year fishing, like, not really even an encounter. It was probably, like, 50 yards away when we were fishing, and I just had to yell at it, and it went away.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still, it was a big boy this time. Big boar. And he was just staring at us. And
that's nuts, dude.
Yeah.
So we mentioned a couple minutes ago there, we had this group of birds flying really, really low. And then we were both kind of like, oh. So currently they're laid down just on the water. Probably.
Too far to shoot.
100-ish yards away. Something like that.
Oh, they are. They might be ringing it.
Dude, what would possess a bird to do that? And just go straight main channel and not tuck it?
Well, we looked too scary. Maybe. I think they're divers is what they are.
Oh, okay. So they're just looking for deeper water.
Yeah. And they don't really, I don't know. Something didn't look right about this maybe, or they're just safer out there. I mean, some of these birds might be educated too.
Sure.
Like, hey, don't land where there's a bunch of fake-looking ducks. But they, like, if we could have seen, they came from behind us, so we had no shot. Yeah. But those would have been killable.
For sure. So we're, like, right on the edge of still having a little bit of chop in our decoys. And, like, we're tucked out of the wind, but we're still catching just enough of that wind. Would the ducks prefer to be like 50-60 yards to our right where that water gets glassy or not?
I don't know. I was hesitant to go in there because I didn't know if they would see us, and I thought they would like fly the main channel.
Sure.
I like where we are.
I do too.
I don't like that those things landed out there though.
Right. Press pause for now. Conserve some battery. Well, guys, we took a little break there from the episode because things slowed down significantly. We had a couple of birds come in. We had one lone mallard give us the buzz, but he didn't find himself in the water, at least in front of us. But we're getting ready to wrap her up here, kind of in the final minutes before we got to start packing up and heading back to reality.
Oh,
we got a couple groups of birds.
As you say that, no.
At the buzzer starting to, hey, it's your timeline, bud.
They're coming our way.
They are coming our way. We'll see here.
This would be a nice finish.
That'd be an epic finish, dude.
They are, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like, I feel like this is like on my guide trips and stuff. Like, if I touch the net too early, the fish always finds a way to come unhooked. I feel like if I reach for the gun too early.
Yeah,
these just birds
don't
are just
move
like...
too much. They're just milling around out in front right now. These like, people are probably like, oh, they're just shit.
They're probably just sitting on the back of the truck right now. They're already packed up. They're just trying to sound like they're actually seeing stuff.
I lost them now, but...
Yeah, I have no clue.
They could just end up right on top of us.
You lost them out to the right, didn't you?
Dead center. Low.
Oh, really? Okay.
But anyways.
Our hope is that if we don't finish strong here, then maybe we'll just have an excuse to do some more duck hunting in another week or so. And we'll be able to hopefully have a real lights out warning for an episode in the flood. Regardless, this has been a good morning.
Yeah, it's always fun. It's
sprinkling right now?
I don't know. It's doing something.
I think I saw a little drip. The orchestra of calls behind us has gone silent for
a long
for
time.
For a good while.
They got a goose for Christmas as well.
Yep.
No.
They tried calling in a handful of geese that were very high. I mean, we did, like, it's not like we didn't see birds today. We had a couple of really nice-sized flocks
just too
come
high.
In that were just, yeah, they didn't want anything to do with Land. What was going on down here. We'll see. It's just tough now because the closer and closer we get to November, the more and more I'm just going to want to focus on deer and... not pry myself away from them to harass some ducks.
Just have to shoot one right away.
Exactly. Or, you know, maybe just, like, lean into the evening hunts a little bit more. I've been doing more of those this year. Last year, I was almost all mornings, and it worked fine. It's also exhausting, but, I don't know. As the days start getting shorter, maybe we'll start continuing to lean into the evening hunts here. Your boat firing up. Is that our buddy?
It's our orchestra. They're calling her quit. Think it might be time for us as well.
Yeah, I think so, buddy. I think we're going to wrap this one up. Dude, always fun hunting with you. Glad we finally got a chance to get out and at least let some steel fly.
Right. One duck, one goose.
At some birds. Yeah, we didn't get skunks. We did better than last time. But folks, talk to you on Tuesday. That's all for this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're at it, if you could leave me a 5-star review, I would appreciate that a ton. You can also follow along with my outdoor adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at The Wisconsin Sportsman. That's also the best way to get a hold of me to suggest topics, guests, or questions you'd like me to explore on this show. Big thanks to our awesome partners, Lone Wolf Custom Gear, Onyx Hunt, Huntworth Gear, Good Chance Fly Fishing, and the Wisconsin chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Please go support the brands that support this show. And if you're looking for more awesome outdoor content, go check out thesportsmansempire.com, where you'll find a ton of other awesome outdoor podcasts. And until next time, make sure you make the time to get outside and enjoy the incredible natural resources that are ours as Wisconsin sportsmen.
How many discounts does USAA Auto Insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway, wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.